CCM's festival celebrating the great decade culminates with Richard Strauss's Salome, an opera that fairly teems with decadence, sensuality, and sexual tension. Maestro Mark Gibson, who conducts the CCM Philharmonia, is conducting this project, and he's here with me. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Anne, and just listening to you introduce it. I want to go see it. I don't want to conduct it. I just want to see the piece now.
This is actually going to be more of an aural performance because it is a staged production, correct?
Well, it's semi-staged. The orchestra will be on stage at Corbett. It follows a series of projects that we've done, including the Don Carlos, the Turandot, Moise of Rossini, where we like to do opera in concert every few years. I think it's most important for our students and for the opportunity to bring pieces that we wouldn't otherwise be able to produce.
I was going to ask about that because this is not the first work that comes to mind when one thinks of what conservatories generally present.
Indeed, but CCM is not your everyday run-of-the-mill conservatory. This is one of the most extraordinary music schools in the world. We have an extraordinary voice faculty, an extraordinary orchestra, and we do projects like this because we can.
Part of that extends to the fact that this opera, which is very demanding, it's 90 minutes long without a stop, and the roles, the leading roles, are not for student voices. So who are you going to have performing?
Well, this is a great opportunity for our students and faculty. We do these projects to get the students and faculty on stage at the same time. So Amy Johnson, our brilliant recent hire, a wonderful soprano who did the Liebestod with us 2 years ago, will be doing the title role of Salome. Tom Barisel, our tenor faculty, will be doing Herod. Ken Shaw, who has sung with me many times, and you and I were talking about this, we know each other for decades, Ken and I, will be doing Yohanan. And so with our faculty, students will be doing the roles of the Jews, the slaves, the soldiers. And we have a very special guest artist, Elizabeth Bishop, former winner of the Metropolitan Opera Council auditions, will be coming in to sing Herodias. So from an educational standpoint, it's unbelievable. From an oral entertainment standpoint, it's just going to be extraordinary. I rehearsed with Amy and Ken the other day, and I'm just, wow.
And of course, the Philharmonia is a superb ensemble, and this has to be an extraordinary experience for them because to play this incredible score.
Indeed. And it is kind of the capstone of this festival celebrating what we call the great decade, 1900 to 1909. Already this year, the orchestra, the Philharmonia, has played Rachmaninoff II, the Schoenberg Opus 16 pieces, the Elgar I, excerpts of Madama Butterfly. From an orchestral standpoint, this is the greatest decade ever. I mean, this is the 1927 Yankees.
Well, for those who don't remember the 1927 Yankees, I'm going to guess they were pretty extraordinary.
Pretty extraordinary.
But let's talk about Salome and what makes this opera such a touchstone. It's based on Oscar Wilde's play, and in fact, the play is virtually the entire libretto.
Actually, the play was originally written by Oscar Wilde in French and then translated into German. Strauss picked it up and virtually didn't alter anything. It's unique in the literature in that he just took this play and set it to music, and it shows a playwright at the top of his powers and a composer at the top of his powers. And it is the epitome of this ultra-decadent, great, we-can-conquer-anything attitude that was prevalent in Middle Europe at the time. I don't think there's another piece that is as emblematic as Salome.
We'll talk a little bit about the play subject matter. I mean, I'm sure many of our listeners, if not most of them, know the subject matter, but just let's do a review.
It derives from a minor episode in the Bible. Yohanan, John, is...
Is John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, and he has been kept underground in a tomb. He's been captured, and he's being held for reasons that are not ever made clear in the opera. And the princess, the daughter of Herodias, Salome, and is drawn into an intrigue, let's say, with this unknown man who has been saying terrible things about her mother, and she really wants to see him, and she has a very seductive power that pretty much grabs anybody who looks apparently into her eyes. She has an eye thing. So she uses her wiles on Narabot, the guard, to have Yohanan brought up from the cistern. And the opera is about this confrontation between a man of God and a girl whose motives are vague. The sensuality that you mentioned in the score, the exoticism in the score, does not, in my view, necessarily reflect the fact that Salome is a loose woman. She's just a girl with an intense curiosity.
And she's an adolescent.
She's an adolescent.
Yeah. It's an opera in which there really are no admirable characters. Everybody is an extreme kind of person, even John the Baptist, who is very rigid and very unforgiving, and everybody is very, very flawed.
Well, flawed and extreme. But again, I think this so clearly reflects the time, that it was a period of extremes and heightened expressionism, really. So the characters, yes, are emblematic of that first decade, which in Vienna was a very extraordinary time. I mean, it was a time of Klimt, of course, a time of Mahler, and a time of Strauss. And when Strauss was criticized for maybe going over the top and being excessive in this piece, he said, well, the excesses of the piece just bought me a very nice chateau.
So, and it's also a time of Freud.
Yes, indeed, a time of Freud, also a time of suicide, in fact, in Vienna. There was a sense of, how shall I put this, Anne, that there was so much excess and people lost the purpose in their lives. They got bored. And you always wanted the next greater high, the next greater excitement, the next most confrontational painting, the next most confrontational composition. And this pretty much is almost at the very extreme. I mean, there's Gurlitter after this, but really, 1905, this was the state of the art, decadent extreme of society.
Well, probably the best known sequence in Salome is, of course, the Dance of the Seven Veils. That's what most people would think of as the highlight. But for me, it's what comes directly after that, the last 15 minutes of the opera, in which Salome just goes into this manic, sensual, almost demonic kind of an aria, rejoicing over the head of John the Baptist. And boy, to have to go through physically to dance that and then come back and sing. But she's not going to dance.
The music, we believe, will be powerful enough. And the extraordinary images of the piece, her efforts to seduce Yohanan, the compliments about the hair, the skin as white as ivory, the lips, as she tries to get him to look her into the eye and to succumb, which he doesn't. He's sent back down to the cistern. And the request she has of Herod, that if she will dance for Herod, he must deliver Yohanan's head on a silver platter, which is itself rather extraordinary. So every incident in the piece is heightened to that degree. She wants to sleep with a man of God who will not sleep with her. Her stepdad wants to see her dance provocatively. She wants the head of a man on a silver platter. She dances, and then she, in a production, would kiss the severed head, which is a truly great image. We don't need to see it. You'll hear it all in the music and in the singing.
And how are the students responding to these challenges, especially your orchestral students?
I'd say mostly fear right now. They're excited about it. I hear little snippets around the halls of Salome and little clarinet solos and mostly very scared violinists.
Well, it certainly is going to heat up a cold winter's evening. Maestro Mark Gibson, thank you so much for being with us. Maestro Gibson will be conducting Salome, and it will be staged by Emma Griffin at CCM on Friday, January 29th. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein.